Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi everyone, it's Brian King, Millwall goalkeeper from 1967 to 1975. I spent the happiest years of my playing career at the Den, and I'd love to share some of the memories, stories and personalities with you in my new book, The Lion's King. In my time, I've met some amazing characters, including Harry Cripps, Barry Kitchener, Sir Alf Ramsey, as well as the great Gordon Banks, and Lev Yashin himself. My book is packed with laughs, tears, tragedies, and triumphs. So join me in my journey down Coldblow Lane and beyond. The Lion's King, available now for $19.99 at www.littlehellbooks.com. That's www.littlehellbooks.com. Come on, you Lions.
You're listening to Acton Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello and welcome to your latest edition of Acton Millwall, the real Millwall fan show with me, Aaron Paul. And, well, it's a small team. Today, it's the five-a-side edition, kind of. If you look at like the grand scheme of things, if you scale it down, we're like the 11-a-side edition usually with three of us. So we are the five-a-side edition today. It's myself, of course, and the one and only, the man himself, the pod father. He's big on OnlyFans. The ladies love him. It's Nick Hart.
Greetings, dear listeners. It's a small team. It's small but perfectly formed. But we will be, by the magic of GarageBand, inserting Mr. Mike Hayden, that I'm going to be speaking to later.
Yeah.
So it's not entirely just Aaron and myself. Well, that's a pretty good turnout, I think. Aaron Paul and Nick Carr, that's not a bad duo, is it?
Happy days. Happy days. The originals, mate. The originals.
The originals, absolutely.
Mike will be joining us via the interwebs a little bit later on. I'll tell you what, should we shout out Harry?
I think so. Harry's not well, listeners. We won't go into detail. But he's not well, and I just want to give Harry a shout out. He's a real character. He's a proper Millwall character. Some people, react to him online, and he takes it in good heart. But he's not feeling up to much at the moment. And I don't know about you, Aaron, but when we're playing normally, we get like a maelstrom of WhatsApp messages whilst Harry plays out all of his personal neuroses on the WhatsApp group. And there was nothing last night because he's not well. And I kind of missed that, didn't you?
Well, I mean, for me, like, you know, I always know that when I'm driving back from like work at 1 a.m,
yeah,
you know, there's always someone there. Like, Harry's always there to sort of chew the fat on anything. We could talk about whatever it is, you know. And I'll tell you what, like, I know obviously, you know, we push out this podcast, what, every week, sometimes twice a week,
yep,
out there. But I think we've built ourselves a good little unit, you know.
Absolutely.
We have a laugh. I think we're pals now. We're really good friends.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a pleasure to be part of it. And Harry's such a big part of it, mate. He's a massive part of it, Harold. Young Harold, as I call him. You know, the quicker he's back on this show, the better. Just get well soon, mate.
Absolutely. Get seconded, mate. Let's get Harry back. So nothing much to cheer us up last night, Harry, is there, either? Exactly. There we are.
Right, let's talk Millwall.
Yeah, a gutty result last night, Aaron.
Yeah. Was it five draws back to back?
Yep. looking like number six. And then late 90 plus 1 minutes, I think. It was a Ryan Woods error. I mean, I got slightly pulled up by one or two people online last night for kind of, I don't know if it was perceived as criticism of Ryan Woods. I didn't think his performance was strong last night. And there's got to be some accountability in a game of football. He's an experienced pro. He's been around the track a few times. And, you know, we can all make errors and mistakes, but he's time on the ball in a dangerous position on the field against a fast and dangerous opponent. Blackburn, I thought, looked good, especially going forwards, Aaron. Gave away a goal. And, you know, it's going to be very, very, very hard to come back with, what, 2 or 3 minutes remaining in the match to go a goal behind like that. So it was a personal error on Ryan Woods, in my opinion, and I'll stand by that. Some might say that's being unfair in criticism, but I think you have to be accountable for these moments. It's, if we aspire to be a top-level team, that's the, you know, they'll carry accountability with them, don't they? So that's what caused it. It's a shame. Hard-working performance. A lot of hard work went into that game last night, and it all got thrown away with that silly error late in the game.
They're a funny side, Blackburn. You know, like, under Mowbray, he's been given the time to actually sort of, you know, build a unit, and he's built a half decent side there. They've got some really good names in there. Do you remember Lewis Holtby? Do you remember him?
Yeah, he featured last night. Yeah. Spurs, he began his career at, I believe. He's done the rounds a little bit, Lewis Holtby, isn't he?
Lewis Holtby, well, yeah, he went to Spurs, he was at Fulham, Hamburg, Schalke, you know, and he's down there. Obviously, Bradley Dack, the one I think a lot of Millwall fans wanted to see at the Den. Yeah. Bradley Dack's there, Bradley Johnson, Stuart Downing, Adam Armstrong. There's some real solid championship names there. They managed to pick up Tom Tribal from Norwich as well. So you've got to give credit to Tony Mowbray. Although, for me, what really annoys me is the way that he just talks through his teeth all the time.
he's got a very funereal expression. He'd make a great actor in a Charles Dickens novel, playing something like the owner of the local undertakers or something of that kind. I just think he'd be ideal.
Do you reckon he'd be a good undertaker?
Well, with one of those old top hats and the black ribbons that, you know, draped around it or something. It's interesting. I mean, with someone with such a visage like he's got, I mean, I just think he's that was an attractive Blackburn side going forwards. I think they half decent was a good choice of words on your part, because I don't think they're quite as strong in defence, and we didn't really test that part of the game enough for me last night. That's one of the criticisms that I'd make of the choices last night by Gary Rowett. Because we put a lot of graft into defending and we kept them at bay well, really, apart from obviously the goal, which was a well-taken goal by Blackburn on the break. But, you know, when we did test them, particularly in the last couple of moments of the game, when Matt Smith came into it and we were chasing, having gone back behind, I thought they looked a little bit, you know, easily rattled in defence. So, like a lot of teams around, and it's like a modern thing. You know, they look better going forwards than they do defensively. I don't know why the game's evolved that way. You could take that from the top, couldn't you? I mean, Liverpool, I'd say, look a lot better side going forwards, and yet they're attackable. Manchester City the same. You know, whatever level you're going to, it seems to be a trend in the game, which is...
Jake Cooper was a miss, wasn't
he? Jake Cooper, first game missed in 3 years. What an achievement. I mean, I put on Twitter that it should be acknowledged as what an achievement that
Someone
is.
Someone get him a plaque.
So it's, you know, it's going down that road, isn't it? I mean, 3 solid years. I think there was one League Cup game where he wasn't played, he was rested. But, you know, you're talking about 3 years solid league appearances in that time. And he's a mainstay of the team. I thought we missed him last night. I thought that both defensively and clearly in attack, you know, whenever we do get a corner, we're looking for the presence of Jake Cooper and then Sean Hutchinson as a kind of a sidekick to him inside the penalty area. But I thought we missed Jake Baddy last night. But so hats off to Jake. He's a great player. And he's a player that's really developed, Aaron, under Gary Rowett. You know, absolutely come on leaps and bounds. Like a few others, but certainly Jake is a standout for me. And we did miss him last night, sadly. But there we go. It was great to see Marlon Romeo back in the side. You know, again, another player that you can take for granted sometimes, but he hasn't been there for, you know, a few games now. And to see him back last night really brought some width. And that wonderful, I understand he's a fairly laid-back boy in personality terms, but he's developed the dark arts of the game. Falling over and winning free kicks is his... I said to my wife, and she wasn't all that interested, but I said it to her anyway, he's a master of falling over and winning the free kick. It's from the school of Neil Harris and before him, Dennis Wise, that ability to work a game, work a referee. And Marlon Romeo, I'll take my hat off to you, because it was great to see that aspect of the game back again last night for us, at least.
Yeah, looking at goals as well, I mean, obviously Scott Malone was on the score sheet yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just... the lack of goals is just really, 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 really sort of getting to me. Now, I know obviously people are going to go, oh, why does he give a shit? But it's true. You know, I care. It gets to me. The fact that Scott Malone has now scored more goals than Tom Bradshaw, yeah, John Daly Bodvarsson, Troy Parrott, and a few others is ever so slightly worrying.
Well, this is one of the questions I pose to myself, and I want to pose it to you, Aaron. I want to pose it to the listeners out there, because I sometimes catch myself in this loop as to if you criticise the manager, are you being destructive? Are you kind of slagging off the team when it's in a tight spot? We all know the injury crisis, and we all know that the team last night wasn't the first choice side. We all know that, and again, the sight of the substitutes bench shows the squad's thinness and its limitations. And I can see there's an argument maybe to have started Troy Parrott, and John Daddy didn't do badly last night, I thought, up front. But why is Matt Smith not featuring earlier on in a game where, you know, it was a rainy night in Blackburn. It was not a night for the beautiful game. We're trying to play like at times like Barcelona and getting away with it at certain points in the game. We did just about get away with it. But it's a night where you want to get the ball in amongst the... inside the penalty area, and Matt Smith is a past master of that kind of approach. And I generally don't get why he's not playing as much as he should do. Because he was our top scorer last season. He looked dangerous in the couple of minutes he had last night. And what are we looking for?
I have a thought about this. Yeah, I've thought about this. Is it simply a case of Gary Rowett is trying to change the style of play? He's trying to evolve into something like, you know, a completely different vibe, effectively.
Yeah.
It's a different way of doing things. But put simply, he doesn't have the personnel to do it. He's trying to put square pegs in round holes. Whereas, let's be fair, Matt Smith is a very, very potent attacking outlet. You know, he brings others into play. He brings the ball down, especially you lump it forward. He'll bring the ball down. Someone gets on the end of it. Bang, you've got yourself something. I was watching the highlights of a couple of older games, and you know the way he does that is absolutely phenomenal. You know, he can, well, I mean, obviously his height is a massive advantage, but you know, the fact that he rises up so high, brings that ball down, and then, you know, it's left for someone to just tap in. It's just like, you know,
it causes panic, doesn't it?
It's just like, is Rowett being stubborn within his own sort of... well, it's his right to be stubborn. Is he being stubborn and going, I'm not going to fucking change it. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to carry on doing what we're doing. We're just going to crack on, keep on cracking on. Is that what he's doing?
Well, I know we've raised this point a few times over this season, and I know it's, it's debated online a lot. I think you're right. I think there is a desire to change the general approach to something. Some will call it more modern. Some will call this, you know, we watched Troy Parrott last night, probably one of Troy's, well, he's only made a few appearances, but this one, he looked good last night. I can see what Gary Rowett wants to achieve, and players like Troy Parrott are, you know, they're physically imposing, but they can also play a bit on the deck, and he's got passing ability, and so on. You know, he looks like the real deal. I imagine that's the kind of player, and we've, some of the injured players, Mahoney and Mason Bennett, can play at a certain level, and I get it. But equally, we in the here and now, we have the squad that we have, and you know, as good as I thought Troy looked last night, I didn't think he was effective in the danger area, because we didn't create as many chances as I felt the performance and the. You know, the effort that was put in by the team defensively, it deserved better than what we created up front. That said, we look good in patches, Aaron. I mean, you know, we passed the ball nicely, and you know, I can see the potential of Troy Parrott, but he's only still 18, and this was only his, I don't know how many games he's played, only about three or four games now. So as much as you can see where the manager wants to take us, and I think we all get that, you are nevertheless trying to... You can do that for so long, but I would have loved to have seen Matt Smith come into that game last night, some point around maybe even the mid part of the second half, maybe a touch earlier, to get in amongst it, get some goals. I mean, if you put the ball, float it in, and we've got players now that can float the ball in. Marlon's back. You've got Jed looking more, you know, more enlivened, and you know Scott Malone can also get down the wing. I think it was Ryan on one of the shows previously said you don't have to be totally accurate with Matt Smith. You just need to get it in that penalty spot to 6 yard area, and he's going to make something happen. And you know, do it enough times, and he will get you goals. And that's to answer your point. We're lacking goals, and as good as it looked in patches last night, and it did look good, we're still not creating chances, and we're certainly not scoring goals.
Although that's what I'm saying. Right now, are Millwall playing to the strength of the players they have, or are they just sort of trying to play a different style but not succeeding purely because they don't have the quality is just not there? In terms of the front line, you know, I'd love to know sort of, you know, the calendar year, what the goals between Bradshaw, Bodvarsson, and I don't think Parrott scored. I'm pretty confident in my own sort of knowledge saying Parrott hasn't scored a senior goal in his career.
I don't think so. If he has, I'd stand to be correct.
How can you pin your hopes on that?
It seems very... I'm trying to find the right word because I don't want to misportray. I think Gary Rowett's aim is good, and I think that his purpose is to try to refashion the club, as you've said. And you're right. And that take us to some higher level of play. And you can see it. I mean, there was a lot of times last night where I keep checking myself to... I keep kind of going to shout at the screen, get the fucking thing forwards, get it forwards. Because we're knocking it around in defence, and I know that's the modern style, and I get it. But unless you're playing with really very, very high quality players, you're dicing with death, it seems to me, a lot of the time. And equally, I know if you lump it forwards, your counter-argument is it's Blackburn will be coming back at you quite quickly. So... you know, I get the arguments, but I think at the moment the team is set up with a certain approach. I think under Neil Harris it was probably fairly direct, maybe too direct, and could have done with a little bit more subtlety, which Gary has brought into the side. But we do lack... There's a time and a place to get direct, and I think when your strongest attacking card is Matt Smith, you have to play to some extent to suit his talents, and he is a talented player, Aaron. You know, his track record speaks for itself on often, for us at least, very little game time. So I don't get that. I dare say if Gary Rowett was on our show, he could probably mount a couple of arguments as to why he doesn't want to play and start Matt Smith.
But coming from an outsider's point of view, look, Gary Rowett, he did well at Burton, did well at Birmingham. Let's be fair, he failed at Derby and Stoke, be it that was board pressure or whatever. Yeah. You know, he went to Derby and decided to leave because he thought Stoke was a better job for him. Spent a hell of a lot of money at Stoke and had to move on. He's coming here and he's basically... He needs to reinvent himself. He really needs to reinvent himself. And he's... I think this is as much of a big project for him as it is for the club. And in the sense of, like, he needs to try and say, look, guys, like at the end of this project, look, guys, look what I did for Millwall. I changed them from being a Route 1 team playing direct football to actually playing football on the deck, good quality stuff, where we're knocking it around like Barcelona. And I think he's trying to do that. And I think he's trying to implement the style. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see pure stubbornness sort of overtake the need for results. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
I don't want to see like the club slip down the table. If you look at them now, I know obviously, look, let's be fair, the Championship table is got like an element of schizophrenia to it. It changes every single week. But, you know, Millwall 13th now. Last week or the week before, they were seventh and they were a point or so behind sixth. You know, it was looking good. But there's just no consistency.
No.
They signed one player on a permanent. And they've gone out and they've got themselves some loan deals. And that's the problem with loans. You know, you're hoping that a player will come good. You are hoping a player will come good and stay fit as well. There's a reason clubs let players go out on loan. They're either not quite good enough for their first team or, you know, they're struggling to get sort of minutes around in and around the first team. Hence why Zahor left West Brom. He wasn't going to, you know, they decided he wasn't going to be a Premier League player. He did come from West Brom, didn't he?
West Brom, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he came from West Brom, yeah. So, you know, I think there's some big, not questions to be asked. I think Gary Rowett's got to look at himself and go, am I going to get backed in January? I mean, obviously, let's be honest, we've got to hope that there's plans in January to strengthen the squad because the limitations are being opened up every single week. It's just proving it, you know. And then injuries, players are dropping like flies now. God help us if we get one or two players with COVID or something like that. And then the squad's even thinner. And then you're looking at the likes of like a Billy Mitchell, a Tyler Bury to step up and try and make the difference. But even then, I look at it and I say it's a very, 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 you know, bottom-heavy Millwall squad where you've got a lot, plenty in defence, the midfield sort of half decently packed, but up front, Jesus, there's nothing. There's nothing. It's really concerning where the goals are going to come from.
I think it's early in my opinion to be criticising Rowett's position at the club because I think this is still a work in progress.
I don't think I've criticised his position.
Not at all,
because I think he's the right manager for the club. I want to see things done properly, effectively, in the sense of I really want him to succeed, like really fucking badly want him to succeed. I think the club deserves it. I think this is a chance now for the club to really sort of push on to the next mark. I just hope he gets the right backing. I know obviously we've had COVID and whatnot and it's difficult. It's difficult. The finances aren't there and you know, teams are hard. They're struggling. But I think the recruitment needs to be better.
Absolutely. I think
needs to be better. Absolutely. If you look at some of the clubs who are pulling players out, okay, I look at Coventry City. They've got a player called Gustavo I think it's Hamer. Some people call him Amer. He's a Brazilian midfielder. He came from PSV Zwolle in Holland. Mate, what a fucking player. What a player. God knows how much I paid for him. It might have been well under a mil, but I mean, someone like that, young, exciting, you know, he's ambitious. I saw him lead the charge to Coventry against Derby the other night. Derby, another club, are guilty of shit recruitment. They knew they needed a forward. They went and got Colin Kazim-Richardson. To be fair, he's actually been all right. But I look at someone else and I look at Luton Town. They beat Norwich 3-1 yesterday. Granted,
decent result.
If you look at Mick Harford is so integral to what they do because their squad will be nowhere without him. He's the one who goes out, finds the players and goes, yeah, we'll have him. And mate, he's not buying world beaters. He's not going out there and going, yeah, I'll go, give me a Messi, give me a Ronaldo. But he's picking up players in from clubs like Tom Lockyer from Charlton. Really solid player. You know, they managed to pick up Eunan O'Kane on loan from Leeds. You know, James Bray, Reece Norrington Davis, you know, Jordan Clark is a solid winger. You know, from Accrington, you know, Pelly Ruddock. I know that he's come through their academy. Fabulous player. He came through West Ham, I think, Pelly Ruddock. But, you know, fantastic player. They're fashioning things. It's a very patchwork squad they've got. But they're doing the bizzo.
I mean, recruitment is an interesting point. In fact,
it's 11/10 of the law, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reading an article from The Athletic talking about post-Brexit football, which looms from January the 1st because there's going to be a points-based system for working in this country after January the 1st. And it's interesting to see how it impacts on football because just as it with any other type of employment, you're going to need to satisfy certain home office criteria, which will include, from the football perspective, length of time, level of play, what kind of club you're coming from. They've created a series of points-based steps that will In very, very general terms, will probably favour players and managers from what you might call the bigger clubs, from the bigger leagues of Europe. It will not be impossible to come into the country and play football. But what it may do is start to squeeze the very kinds of players that maybe, you know, you're touching on there, a Brazilian and I read that the Danish leagues might not be seen as quite having quite the kudos of the Serie A and the French Division One and all that kind of thing. So it might squeeze players from locations where you might hope to find a diamond in the rough, so to speak. So, you know, that's a big question. We'll see how that plays out once these new regulations come into play.
I'd like to sort of meet these people in recruitment and go, right, what's your process?
Where are you looking? What are you, I mean,
mate, I'll be straight with you. I know Steve Gallen at Charlton, and I know obviously, you know, people take the piss out of him and, you know, the training spots and all that. But let me tell you something, if it weren't for Steve Gallen, Charlton would be a League Two club.
Oh, absolutely.
Charlton would be a League Two club, mate.
They build a strong developmental.
Well, he knows how to recruit a player. He knows how to recruit a player and he knows how to sign a player. I'd say Preston North End from a couple of years ago, a year to 2 years ago, they were recruiting very, very well. Barnsley recruited well. There's a reason why these teams are sort of in the mid-reaches of the Championship. But there's a very common thing. If you look at 24, 23, 22, 21, the bottom four, yeah, all can't score goals.
Yeah.
All can't score goals. Birmingham can't score goals. Coventry have struggled to score goals. I'm just looking at sort of the four column now. Millwall got 13 goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
17. And look, Barnsley have scored more, Preston scored more, Huddersfield scored more, Queen's Park Rangers scored more. You've got to go down to Birmingham City in 18th, who scored less. So it's, and then obviously you've got those bottom four, Forest, Wickham, Sheffield Wednesday, and Derby. Wickham can't score for shit. Their strikers aren't good enough. Forest are wasteful. Sheffield Wednesday, they're going to play Tony Beale's football, and Derby are shit. Very simple. Very, very simple. But I'm worried about those teams in the midriff that are scoring more goals. The likes of your Blackburns, your Boroughs, your Lutons, they can all score goals on their day. That's worrying thing about it.
Last night, I mean, in a nutshell, for anyone who didn't see the game, I think we did a great job in containing a quite a dangerous-looking, forward-playing Blackburn side. I think overall, we did a pretty good job, bar that late error by Woods. But the problem, and you've hit the nail on the head, and we've hit it on the practically every show we've done this season, is that we ain't scoring any goals. This show today was the first time that I'd logged on just before you and I spoke. I looked at the league table, and for the first time my eyes went downwards to the bottom three to see where we are in relation to, I think, Wickham. We're about 16 points off of Wickham at the moment, so you know you can breathe easy on that front. But you're right. This is a major problem. If we don't start scoring goals, we're going to have problems. Let's hope that as the injuries start to come back from the sick bed, and that, you know, there's a haul, particularly a lot of hopes will be pinned on his return and an extension to his loan. But it does feel a bit wing and a prayer, doesn't it? Rather than having your own players that, you know, can at least know where to go to put the ball in the net. And that, the best exponent of that we've got is Matt Smith, who sat on the bench until the 90 plus two last night. So, you know, I think it's fair to criticise the manager for decision-making. I think it's fair to hold individual players, and Ryan Woods is a linchpin of the side. You know, I think you captured it. He always gives you a feeling of playing at 70%. He never looks and feels like he's 100% in the game. I don't know how, if that's just his style. And it's all very well being the ginger Pirlo, but if you're just knocking it sideways, as we did a lot through him last night.
He's a Michael Carrick, mate. He's a Michael Carrick.
We ain't going nowhere. And
he's a Michael Carrick. Like, the thing is with Ryan Woods, if you look at it, he will give you a real top-end game once every 5-6 games, which is good, but it's not quite, you know, it's not quite Carling, you know.
No, I agree.
He is that midfielder who is a pass picker. Now, the problem is he's not adventurous enough for his passes to pick out that sort of, you know, that killer final ball into the final third. That's why, obviously, I know everyone knows I've got a bit of a loving with Ben Thompson. I just think he's brilliant. But I just think there's a real distinct lack of creativity. I mean, if I was Millwall now, I'd be looking to go and get three players in the window. Go and get myself a midfielder that's going to real can change a game. Another winger to take the load of Jeb Wallace, and an actual striker. Go and get a striker. You know, three players, and then you're automatically saying, this side can challenge the top six, you know?
One thing I want to mention before we close out on this and go to Mike's insert that I'm going to put into the show, listeners. I just want to mention the referee, Aaron. I think the refereeing was poor last night. I know we... Yep. I don't blame the result on the referee, but then when you see online images of... I mean, the handball shouts in real time, it's very hard to see with the kind of TV coverage you get through iFollow to see how valid the handball shouts were. They look like they could be when I'm watching on the TV screen at home. And then you see, you know, images online where there's arms up, and you can see that, okay, you might dodge one of those, but there was three shouts of handball which weren't given. And earlier in the game, I mean, it looked like a full-scale ice hockey body check on Marlon Romeo, which seemed to be play on, you know. And you think, where do these referees come in? Why is there no... Why is the game, and by this I mean the EFL-FA and the Premier League, I suppose, because this goes all the way up to the top, but why is this poor quality tolerated? Maybe the Premier League gets a better referee because it's got greater coverage and greater focus. But honestly, the referee last night, yes, he cost us a goal at least, I would say, because there were good shouts, each of them. And overall, he was just a very, very poor referee.
Mate, I saw a shit referee Tuesday night. I saw shit referee Tuesday night.
Where were you on Tuesday, mate? What about
that?
Derby.
You know, Derby.
Yeah.
Shit referee, shit lino, you know, missed two penalties. You know, there was an offside that was incorrectly given as well. But then again, we don't want VAR, do we? Championship.
No, we don't. No, and round the circle we go. As soon as you find yourself thinking VAR would have sorted that last night, you know what nightmare that leads to. So, no, we can't be having that. I just think it's not too much to expect a better quality of referee. And not every decision's going to go your way. We're all men of the world. We understand how it works. But he just looked very, very second rate. And as you say there, Ryan, it's I think every club can probably claim that. So there's a problem. And I think the games authorities ought to be looking at that rather than some of the things they do focus on. But there we are.
Agreed.
Shall we switch over to Mike and come back after the break?
Let's hear from Scott. Does he have a jingle?
I might do him a jingle, actually. It's the Mike Hayden Show.
Or does he qualify for the jingle? That's the question.
Some of the people who have had jingles on this show, I think Mike does. I think he's a mainstay of the site.
I don't even have my own fucking jingle.
I'll do your jingle.
I never have my own jingle, mate. I can't believe it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Achtung
Millwall. Big welcome on the show to Mike Hayden, and by the miracle of GarageBand, I'm going to insert this as though It was an effortless segue into our conversation. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Nick. Hello, everyone.
I felt really gutted last night, Mike. I think after 40-odd years of following the Lions, I ought to have gotten used to it by now, but last night just really stung. How did you find last night's defeat, mate?
Yeah, agreed. If drawing five games or so in a row wasn't bad, I think this was just the final kind of kick in the teeth, wasn't it, to lose it in the last minute like that?
Yeah.
In a game where I thought, you know, we played pretty well. I mean, a lot better than we have done in recent fixtures, I thought. But yes, ultimately, it'll be really interesting to see how the squad pick themselves up, you know, from this against Derby on Saturday. You know, supposedly we've got these big characters and they've got a really good team ethic and so forth. So it's time to show it now. And they have to, you know, turn this around against Derby, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, I said to Aaron earlier on, but I'll get your view on it. I thought we missed Jake in the centre of defence last night. I thought he's a big loss for the defence. First time in 3 years, of course, of a dislocated shoulder from last week. But I thought we did a really good job, and my overwhelming sense when, you know, we went behind late was what a waste of a lot of graft. I mean, I don't want to sound too tragic on this, but it just really stung for me last night.
It did. I think sometimes, you know, you'll concede a last minute goal and think to yourselves, well, do you know what, we were under the cosh all game, they've scored. But actually, it felt like a pretty even match, maybe us shading it a little bit at times as well. So that always makes it feel worse. But yeah, I think defensively, it must have been quite strange for the likes of Hutchinson not to see big juicy Jake next to him for the first time in 3 years or something. And he was definitely, it's just his size, I think, as well, because, you know, Pierce isn't actually the tallest central defender in the world, is he? And Jake, no. Yeah, he was missed. He was missed.
It's a reassuring sight in the centre of defence, Jake, and what a brave... I mean, reading before you and I were speaking this afternoon, he would have played last night, given half a chance, and you've got to take your hat off to that. I mean, there's a point where bravery becomes folly, doesn't it? But, you know, he would have turned out last night, and I don't think management allowed him to do so. So, for good reason, I think if you dislocate your shoulder, then, you know, you need a slight break.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't return a few days to football. I think I'd be out for months if I did that. So, that's correct. Yep.
I mean, the story of the night for me is we played well, I thought, Mike, but we didn't create the chances. We had some good opportunities in the opposition half, but we didn't really create decisive chances in front of goal. Story of the season, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And I think Blackburn played themselves into our hands a little bit, because for once we went to a team who actually were just, you know, really attacking well. It was an open game, you're correct. And and a lot of sides that we've played recently, in thinking about, you know, Birmingham, for one example, have sort of just been very tight and sat back and just too almost scared to lose. Whereas Blackburn, you know, took the game to us. Actually, that should have fallen into our hands in a way, because we sort of look at ourselves as a bit of a counter-attacking side where, you know, we can soak up pressure and sort of hit them where it hurts. So, and I thought when we equalised, I really did feel the way that Blackburn were playing, this would fall into our hands and we would go on, you know, and win the game. Because I think specifically Romeo and Malone were getting so much space down each side. And, you know, for the goal, for example, Malone had the whole pitch to himself, it felt, to put that away. Romeo was on the ball a lot as well and was causing them some problems. Still, even as that, we were unable to create the really good chances. I mean, I can't remember thinking to myself, yeah, how have we not scored that shot or header? It was more just the point of that final ball again that just never seemed to come, did it?
No, I mean, it's interesting looking at Troy Parrott last night. Obviously, we've all been itching to get a sight of the boy prodigy. You know, he does look good. He does look good. I'm going to caveat what I'm going to say now with that. Interested to see what you think, Mike. But I you know, as good as he looks, I keep coming back to the point, we didn't create enough open chances. And, you know, it's great he can strike there was a pass at one point, almost a crossfield pass, a Johan Cruyff style pass. You know, great stuff. But when Matt Smith came in with just 2 minutes on the clock, I mean, suddenly panic was in the in the Blackburn Rovers defence. You know, I know you can't compare them as players. One is a kid at the start of a hopefully a very promising career at the very top level, and one is an experienced old hand that's done the rounds. But you know, unless we're creating chances, all the good football in all of the world doesn't get you anywhere, does it? And I left with a sense of that last night.
Yeah, agreed. I think Troy was excellent. I think there was only one, I remember him having a shot which was sort of deflected wide where, you know, a hungry 18-year-old is going to shoot there, where really Romeo was bombing down the wing and that would have been a better option for him. The only thing that's frustrated me with Parrott a little bit is maybe coming a bit too deep sometimes. And I think this is probably because he's not getting chances in the box, because when Smith plays, he's basically, you're going to stand on their centre half and, you know, hit him. That's basically what you do. But Parrott seemed to, you know, have a bit more of a free roam, I guess, across that sort of, you know, sort of striker area. And that comes with its positives and negatives, because obviously he's in the game more, some nice touches, but then he's not always necessarily on the last defender or maybe in that 6-yard box where you need him. Not that we would have found him, because we just, you know, anyway, but he's such a different style of striker. But when you're not creating chances, you almost just need that person in there sometimes, like Smith, who, you know, if he gets a chance, he'll more than likely put it away. But, yeah, but you're right, I like Parrott. I think he's clearly going to be our number one striker, certainly unless you know, we ever see Zahor again.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great to see Kenneth Zahor again in a Millwall shirt. I thought that was the one time that we looked like we had real focus, other than playing the Matt Smith game, which we've spoken about a good few times. I mean, as far as last night was concerned, obviously the game hinged in the end on the error by Ryan Woods. He's a Marmite player, Mike, and I wish I could see some more dynamism at times from him, because, you know, he plays this deep role, and I accept that's not the most glamorous of positions, and, you know, you're doing the kind of water carrying role there, but you just don't sometimes, you know. I was checking myself last night, you're saying, get the thing forwards, move the ball down the other end of the pitch, because we're knocking it around in nowhere places, and I don't know that's it's not fulfilling to watch, is it? Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Well, I think if you were to analyse, you know, well, how do you score a goal? Is, you know, you create chances from ideally the attacking players, but then if you're not doing that, you look backwards, don't you?
And, yeah, that's a good course, Tom. How do you score a goal?
Well, it is. I'm sort of being kind of analytical here for once. So it's probably not coming across well. But but I mean, and then obviously, you know, where does the ball come from? The back, right? And if someone like Woods in there just playing sort of these Perlow-esque balls kind of across the field and it's not really going anywhere, that needs to change. So, you know, I think that does need to be looked at. With him, you know, he does do some incredible things, which, you know, I remember that little dink over the player.
It's a good pass of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. There was an unbelievable bit of skill almost on our edge of our box, and I was thinking, well, fucking get rid of it. Yeah. But, you know, he'll do some sort of turn and sort of chip it over the defender, and it was incredible. But when a player like that tries to play this expansive way, they will make mistakes, and that's why he's in the Championship playing for Millwall when he's not at a top Premier League side, for example. And when he makes mistakes, it goes tragically fucking wrong, and it did last night.
Oh, didn't it? That stung. Like I said at the start of the conversation, that one hurt last night. It just felt like a waste of hard work all night. And even then we made a sterling effort to get back in the game. The refereeing was poor, Mike. I mean, how did you see the referee? I mean, in real time, I didn't get enough of sight at the handball shouts, but the players at the end were actually vehement that was a handball inside the penalty.
Yeah. And it's not like a Millwall side to sort of crowd the ref like that at the end either, I don't think, certainly this crop of players. So I was thinking to myself, something's happened here. And I think it could have been given one of those. If VAR probably existed in the Championship, we'd have had a penalty. But I guess, you know, it's quite difficult to see for the ref, I suppose, if, you know, you've got a crowded box. But it did look ominous, didn't it? But then also thought Murray Wallace, it sort of fell to him, didn't it? And he just sort of headed it straight into the keeper's hands. There wasn't a lot of pace on the ball. This was in the injury time as well. But I was just thinking to myself, he should have scored there. If he'd have nodded it down, that would have gone in. And it, actually, what was quite interesting, you know, the final few minutes, I was just thinking, oh, fucking hell, that's over now. But actually, yeah, we really did try our hardest to get back in it with more urgency and look dangerous again. And as you say, probably should have had a pen, but it wasn't to be.
No. One other thing I just wanted to raise before I let you go. That bloody fake crowd noise, Mike. Why did they... I can't bear it on TV, but at least you get like a red button choice not to have it. But the idea of playing it in a stadium, and they turned the volume up whenever Blackburn were on the attack and turned it down a bit, I think, for the Lions when we went forwards. But
yeah,
honestly,
what's terrible.
What's it become?
I know. Well, I think because we did do that, didn't we, when we returned for the first time Millwall? And
what did we do it? I missed that. Right, okay.
I think I don't think we do it anymore, but we did it, I think, for the first game back of last season. Was it Derby?
Derby in the heat. Yeah.
And we're listening it on iFellow, and it was just fucking dead.
It was white noise.
Our PA system hasn't been updated since 1993, Nick, there at the Den, and it was awful. But it felt to me, but the players must be thinking to themselves, we know it's fake.
Everyone knows it's fake.
How would it ever help?
Just out of interest, I always have to choose the authentic noise of the players shouting and the apologies for the obscenity you might have had. I've never watched the game willingly. I mean, some you don't get a choice, but the fake crowd noise on TV, I try and turn it off. How do you take your TV? Do you turn that down, or do you keep the crowd noise?
Well, I wouldn't have the crowd noise, but I mean, I don't have access to the red button because I didn't do it okay. on there. So yeah, I'm buggered, to be fair.
Oh, okay. So, okay. You have to have it.
yeah. So I have to have it. So I have to sit through it. But I don't know. You're annoyed by it, but in the end, it is what it is, I think. At least we're going to see some fans back, now. And it was good to see, last night, some fans back in stadiums. And it gave me a few goosebumps, actually, Nick. It felt almost powerful. I don't know what it was about it in other matches anyway. And just felt like we're on that road now to hopefully returning to normality and getting a packed Den, hopefully at some point next year, fingers crossed.
No, well said. I think it's going to be an emotional, and it sounds, I sometimes wonder whether I'm being a bit too dramatic in saying it, but I think it will be an emotional moment because it is that sense of a return to normality after what is going to be nearly a year of long, hard endurance for a lot of people. So it's great to see it. So fingers crossed it goes well on Saturday. Big thank you for interjecting today, Mike. I really appreciate
your time,
mate. Let's hope for a better outcome on Saturday. What's your score prediction, incidentally, for the Derby Saturday?
I'll go for Millwall 2, Derby County 1. We've got to win at some point, right? I mean, just it's got to end this run, hasn't it?
Well, at some point, we have to.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I think we will. I think I've got a feeling.
Thank you, Mike Hayden. We're going to get back to Aaron Paul after these messages.
If you're enjoying Achtung Millwall podcast, then why not help us grow the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? We'd love it, if you visit the Apple link in the show notes and leave us a rating and a review. Achtung Millwall is the number one podcast broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. No show sponsors, no Patreon, and no TikTok accounts. Thank you, dear listeners, and as always, arrivederci, Millwall.
Right, and we're back.
Are we back? Yeah, we are back. Welcome back to the Real Millwall Fan Show. This is Achtung Millwall. Should we have a look at some comments from the internet? There's one from the Colonel. Do you know the Colonel?
Saunders.
That's it. Jake Colonel Saunders.
Max, I like this one. I like this one.
Start more. It's that simple. 256 minutes in. This seven-game winless run just isn't enough. Comfortably, the biggest goal threat at the football club. Must start Derby 100%. Knowing how shit they are, got to be done.
Jake has hit the nail bang on the head, and the nail's gone right into the wood. Because I don't get how your main goal-scoring threat can sit on the bench to to the level that Matt Smith does. We've made that point already, won't make it again, but Jake Sanders captures that perfectly, as does Jim Hackett, who is not happy with that loss. To give a chance away like that when in possession and in no danger is criminal. The defence had done that quite a few times during the game, got away with it with poor possession, though. Bastards, he says. Which I think is a cry from the heart. And Kevin Fuller asked the same question as Jake. What has Matt Smith done wrong? He calls his problems whenever he gets on. Managers are a strange breed, Aaron, aren't they? They have their set thought processes and don't seem to veer away from it. Odd.
Yeah, but they're effective in some ways, aren't they? Look at the Big Sams, the Tony Pulises of this world, they're effective.
Maybe, and maybe the opposite to that is what I would be, is probably caught in two minds all the time, and that'd probably be no good to man or beast. TD disagrees. I critiqued Ryan Woods, and TD totally disagrees with me. He says, Ryan Woods is the only player who demands the ball when others are in possession. The only one kicking players to stop the counter, whether he gets booked or not, so he's providing the physical presence. The players ahead of him need better movement for him to flourish. One mistake doesn't make a bad player. I get where you're going with that, TD. I think you're right about movement going forward. He can only play balls to players who are showing and on offer. And I think that is an area that, we need to do better at. But Ryan Woods is a Marmite figure. And, I'm sure the listeners will be screaming their own views of Ryan Woods at the speaker as we read these points out. Do you want to close with Matt Joy's point, Aaron, about Ryan Woods?
Yeah, Woods is a good player, yes. He can pick out a great pass, switch the play, and 7 times out of 10, he's normally composed. But he's no good in a midfield two. Ball winning and a box-to-box work isn't him as a player. He needs to play 4-3-3, in my opinion, to justify having Woods as a player. Basically, he's fucking Michael Carrick, basically.
That's not meant as a compliment, is it?
Michael Carrick. Fans at the Den, Nick.
Yes, fans are going to come back. Unfortunately, I can't be there with you, listeners, but great news to see fans back at football generally. I Radio Derby rang me yesterday to do a little pre-match thing, and they were asking about fans back at the Den. I think that it's just great for the sport. It's great for the country to start to see some normality coming back. We're not out of the woods generally with COVID, but it's good to see some chinks of light at the end of a long tunnel now. So, I think it's the club have worked really hard to make this happen, and I think it's it's hats off to Mill Football Club. They've had a couple of full storms over the course of the summertime, and now to see this is a really welcome moment in the game. Have you been to any games where the fans returned yet, Aaron?
I went to one about 3 months ago at Norwich City where they had 1,000 fans.
1,000 people, yeah.
I went to Cambridge United, they had 1,000 through the door, but I'm at Norwich again this weekend when they got 2,000.
Okay.
Carrow Road, they're playing Sheffield Wednesday. So, be interesting. I did think I was going to be heading down to the Den, but no, it's Carrow Road for me on Saturday. It'll be exciting to see him back. I don't know if anyone else picked up on some of the comments from the South London press last night. Lee Bowyer criticising the Charlton fans for being too quiet. It was quite funny, actually.
How could I miss that? It's the only thing that cheered me up last night, listeners, was Lee Bowyer digging out the 2,000 fans at the Valley that were allowed in.
I thought they'd be a bit more louder, really.
I think Lee Bowyer's got a career in the diplomatic service. We send him out to the Middle East.
On Sky, he was shocking on Sky the other day.
Oh dear! I mean, he's obviously a figure of some fun at the Den at the best of times. But I don't understand football managers at times. You've got 2,000 fans. I mean, parking all allegiance to one side, as a club that's been through its own version of a nightmare. Then you've got the COVID. And then finally, legislation, not the fans. This is legislation allows 2,000 back. And he finds it, he finds they weren't making enough noise for him. I don't know. Stupid is as stupid does. I think Forrest Gump said that, didn't he?
Not
stupid.
Sure at all about that. Derby. WRDC. Wayne Rooney's Derby County. This is going to be interesting. I really think it's imperative to beat these lot because, put simply, they're shit. You know, they play a game for about an hour and then they just lose their bottle completely.
I thought last night, I mean, Blackburn aren't shit. They're a decent side coming at us, but they were get at-able in defence. And when we did get at them, we created some good play without any clear-cut chances. So there's a thing that we need to focus on. But certainly the overall play last night for Millwall was better than some of the other draws that we've had recently. And incidentally, whoever came up with that meme of the Jaws movie poster with Gary Rowett as the shark and saying Jaws, I think that was very good, truly genius. So hats off to whoever did that. But no, I think if we attack them and don't sit there like we're, you know, AC Milan playing Inter in the Milan derby or something, trying not to give anything away, then we can create. And I think we've got players to do that. And we've got players to exploit it if we play the right formation and the right personalities, e.g. Matt Smith. Because, you know, God knows we could do with a win, couldn't we? That would be 7 games on Saturday. So, I think Derby are clearly in trouble. You look at the league table. All joking aside about Wayne Rooney, he's got a big management task in front of him there, Aaron. I don't know what...
I mean, look, I was on sort of Rooney watch, if you like. And he... interesting, because Rosinha, Justin Walker and Shay Given were stood behind him and they were screaming and shouting at every decision. And Rooney was just silent on the touchline. He was like winning a 2 metre by 1 metre box on his technical area, just... You know, sort of just cut the
side. Do you think he's, I mean, you know, you follow a club that's seen some truly great managers. I mean, some of the best there have been. But I mean, I don't know that Wayne Rooney is management material. I wondered about Lampard at Chelsea, but he seems to be pulling it together a little bit at Chelsea. But really, I mean, can you see Wayne Rooney as a manager?
Coaching experience. Let's be fair. The man they should have gone for was Rosinha. The man they should have gone for was Liam Rosinha. If you were insisting on bringing someone in sort of like from within, it's got to be Rosinha. He's the most experienced there. But right now, all they're looking at Derby is the takeover. Now, if I was a Derby, I'd be sat there shitting myself going, is this takeover going to happen before January? Wayne Rooney keeps saying it's 48 hours away, it's 48 hours away, it's 24 hours away, it's 48 hours away, when he's been saying that for the past 2-3 weeks now.
And yeah, and,
you know, it's just, it's a very, very, very weird state of events there. Colin Cousin-Richards, though, just to say, like, he scored his first goal in English football for 7 years. Coming up 7 years. Coming up to 8 years, in fact. I think 7 years and 11 months.
Decent player, Cousin-Richards.
I mean, do you know what? He's an absolute live wire. Technically very, very good. And the truth of the matter is, against Coventry, Derby just... They were poor in the way they approached him. They didn't play to his strengths. Lump it forward and play it to him. But one thing about them, they've got a mistake in them. They've really got mistakes in them, Derby. This is an opportunity for Millwall to kick on and go, you know what, let's sort this one out. Go, grab 3 points, job done. That's it. Anything on the old Kit Clash last night, Nick? Did you have to get...
Oh, Kit Clash. Where did he... Who's... I put this online and only one person said it's not a problem, but how can you not have a white and blue half shirt side playing a green and white blue half side and it not be called a Kit Clash? I don't get it. I mean, green and blue are not far apart on the spectrum, are they? And, why can't you just have it like a yellow shirt or a red shirt or an orange shirt, any shirt, but one that is distinctly different to your opponent? I don't understand modern football. I think maybe I'm getting too old for this game, Aaron. I think I'm getting too old.
Do you have to change your readers and your varifocals?
I don't think it would have made any difference. I mean, genuinely, I mean, I want to put it to the listeners because... I always thought that you had to have a distinctly different coloured shirt. I thought there was some kind of rule in football. Maybe they relaxed it to allow sponsorships and whatnot.
Who knows?
Really? Yeah, green and blue plays white and blue.
Who knows? Oh, Nick, I know Michael Avery is going to be absolutely positively shitting himself.
Well, his
shop's open again.
Yeah, he's posted that the club shop has reopened. I presume that's going to be a socially distant shopping experience on Saturday with 2,000 there. But in time for the Christmas rush. So, yeah, I'm hoping that Michael will give us the full rundown on the very, very top products available at the Mill Club Shop.
I'm hoping. When is he next on, Nick? Is he coming up?
A couple of weeks' time, I think, Michael. I think we've got.
That's the thing. What I'm looking forward to is actually finding out what the Christmas bargains are. What's to be had from the Millwall Club Shop?
Treble chance with Gary Rowlett.
I mean, I want that red kit. I'll be honest with you, for Christmas, I want that red kit.
Red kit's all right. Why were we wearing the red kit last night? I mean, red and white against... I want the red mountain kit.
Any other business, Nick?
No, we forgot to do the Achtung Acca. We forgot it. I forgot it. So forgive me, listeners. We'll try and get that together for the weekend and we'll try and get some money. And I've not even looked at the fantasy football league.
I'll whip that up. I'll bring that up.
I haven't even looked at it. I don't even know. I don't care anymore about the fantasy football league.
Give us a minute about the fantasy. Wait there. It's just loading up. last week was a tough week. A very, very tough week.
Are you still actively altering your teams? Are you still doing it? You are.
Let's start from the bottom. Lomas's Lager, Nick. he's got 300. Nick, you're quite cut adrift down the bottom, mate.
I'm the Wickham Wanderers of the group here.
You're cut adrift at the bottom. That's because you've got Mesut Ozil, who's not even registered. Luca Dean, who's injured for the
boys are a bit handicapped at the moment. The boys are a little bit
Nick, I think I need to give you some advice. We need to get you off the
ball. I need to work out how to make a transfer and get other players in. But I keep...
Mickey Avery, I need more character. he's currently sitting... Oh, he's 59th out of 70. Who else we've got? Let's shout out Paul Herbert. Any holes a goal? Yep.
What a great name for a team.
let's have a look. Who else?
Oh, dear.
Michael Hayden, Rowlett Your Boat FC, 35th at 70. He's got 542 points. Fair play to you, mate.
Yeah, good. It was a good performance.
Frankie Christou's in there. Shout out, Frankie.
Yep.
Mate, Richard Mofa's in there. Hello, Rich. XG unit, Ryan Loftus.
Ryan, the XG man.
Number 9. Where's Harry Warren?
I think Harry's probably in the hospital at the moment.
Oh, Charlie Warren's here, 30th.
Charlie's doing all right. Good big shout out to Charlie.
Charlie's in at 30th. Yep. Shout out Charles. Oh, Harry, 52. Bielsa Bucketman, he's 52nd.
Is he?
Out of 70. Let's go over the top 10. So you've got Delusional Davis at 10, XG Unit at 9, Ying or Aubameyang at 8, FC Stuttrecht. That's Stuart Ward at 7, Tian Busquets at 6, yep. Spamdemic at 5, Andrew Neil. Is that the BBC fellow with the wig?
Must be.
Right. FC Vercetti at 4, Well Hyung, in at 3, Moy Division at 2 on 620 points. Yep. Coming in top, the Big Bear Brownie.
Hey. You do pay attention to this, don't you?
I'm top of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm top of 5 leagues at the moment.
Oh, mate. Every time I look at fantasy football listeners, I feel like a fairy's dying somewhere in the Disney castle. So I can't be bothered with it.
It's the first year I've actually given it a bit of attention. Honestly, my old tactic was to set up a team at the start of the season. I'd like to spend like an hour on it. No, forget about it. Yeah,
that's where it's all gone wrong.
Then I forget my login. But this year, like, I've been probably pushed by some mates to get involved. So I've got involved and it's going all right. You know, it's ticking over quite nicely. What do we have a prize, Nick, for whoever wins?
Well, we'll have to. Well, as soon as you're leading, we'll probably ought to come up with a prize for you at some point.
Fucking mate. Right, we do.
I'll have a mull on that once. Hopefully, by the time we get to the end of the season, the pub will be open again, so we can probably ply you a drink or something.
In a couple of weeks, we'll be bringing back Christmas Tahiti, I hope, as well, Nick.
Yeah, I've got that on the desktop here, so we'll be playing that ASAP, mate. Absolutely, absolutely.
How's it going to go at the weekend, pal?
I fancy a Millwall Golf Fest. I'm going to go Millwall 2, no, I'll go Millwall 3, Derby 0.
I was going to go exactly the same, you know.
Were you? Well, I'll go 2-0. You go 3-0.
I was going to go Millwall 3, Derby 0. I just really am hoping that, you know, obviously...
A goal explosion is waiting to happen at the Den.
Rowett coming back into his old side. I hope.
And Rowett will come and he'll be giving it some to say, the Achtung Mill show, I told you.
Exactly. Listen. Two fingers up.
Absolutely.
Two fingers up to the Achtung.
And we take it. Yeah. We love it.
There you go. We loves it. We loves it. Nick, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you to you for listening. My name's Aaron Ball. He's Nick Cott. This is Acting Millwall, the real Millwall fan show. Until next week, bye for now.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Acting Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Over to Acting Millwall. Till next time.
'Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.